As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Haven't done this in a while, but just want to tell you guys how I feel today.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Slam through. And Taylor.
May the force be with you.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
God, Andrew, I'm trying to give... I was like staring at you.
Throwing softballs at him.
Just trying to give you the easiest one that could be.
I almost got it.
You did.
The better way to do it, probably.
I'll find an easier one next week. The only way to do it is
to make it to where we both have to answer. Like, you have to wait to the completion of the quote before you can answer.
Yeah.
That's probably appropriate.
Or I just text him before.
Yeah, just tell him.
Oh, text him the answer before.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. It could be. There are many specifically, options.
Wait a second.
Rise of Skywalker.
This just says Star Wars 1977.
That's the original one. New Hope, man. Come on.
Oh. But they also say it like in every movie, probably.
Yeah, I got
probably.
It.
Probably.
Yeah, I got it.
I don't know. That was actually a trivia question, is what's the phrase in each, like, each one of the movies has this phrase. Anyway, that was one of Alex's trivia questions.
Wow.
Well.
It's amazing.
What a boring night in the NBA last night.
And Jay.
It's me, Jay. It's me, Jay.
It's me.
It's me.
It's me.
It's a me, Jay.
Did y'all see the new Mario Brothers?
Yes, my
trailer?
Kids. My kids awesome. Flipped out. They flipped out. They ran through the house. I was in my room, and they said, "Dad, you've got to come in here." They're just all screaming. Like, you have to watch this trailer. And it's great.
They were like,
their credit. It's great.
They dropped like 5 trailers in the last few days. So you've got Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Looks amazing.
Yeah.
Cocaine Bear. Have you seen that one?
I watched that trailer.
Looks amazing.
It does look amazing.
Looks. I was like, what in the world? But it's kind of I don't know. It feels like it hits the right genre. Anyway, yeah. But the new Indiana Jones.
Didn't see that.
No.
Trailer. Didn't see that.
That how's one's out
he,
there though.
How's he still doing things?
Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Oh, and
they're still doing that.
Looks horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. And then the new Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow. Hmm. That one I will watch.
Comes out in May.
Nice.
It's got to be
May. Will
we
even make it? I don't know.
Make it.
I feel pretty confident, but.
You feel good right now?
Yeah.
Do you think you'll make it to May?
Yes.
Proud of you.
Personally.
It's great.
Proud of you. Yeah.
You think Jalen Williams will make it until May?
Playoffs?
Great transition. No, the season will be over by then.
Yeah.
For them.
Yes, it will. He will not make it until May, but he did win the Western Conference Rookie of the Month for October and November.
Does that feel like most of the good rookies are in the East?
Well, the two best rookies are
Paolo, Ben Mathurin.
That's, I mean, those are the two best rookies. And then
who else is out there? Jabari Smith.
Yeah, Jabari's been not good.
Except for when they play the Thunder.
Yeah. Except then.
I don't think I've been able to. Have we potted since then?
Potted.
Have we potted anything since then?
No, because that was on Saturday.
Have we potted?
Potted.
That was genuinely one of the worst sports nights in my entire life. So I'm watching
in Oklahoma history
three games happening in my life that night that I'm paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Number one,
OU versus
Texas Tech.
Yep,
that was a good game.
No.
Oh, it was a bad game.
They blew it.
Pigskin.
Oh, okay.
They blew it.
Yeah, pigskin.
Number two, at the same time, I'm watching the Rockets just annihilate the Thunder.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Which is the most narrative-creating game there possibly could be. And I hated it.
Yeah, I had conversations going on in my mentions between Rockets fans and Thunder fans for days.
The giddy hate from Houston is so wild. Anyway, and then the third one is I'm at the same time, like in my peripheral, I'm watching Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley destroy Notre Dame and basically lock up the Heisman for Caleb Williams and a playoff spot if they win tomorrow for the Trojans. Yeah.
What feels like
worst,
like the biggest injustice in your life, in sports injustice?
I was about to say, that's nothing to do with sports.
Sports injustice, but I'll give you two. Was KD winning a championship in Golden State, did that feel worse than this Caleb Williams stuff?
Well, the Kevin Durant stuff felt inevitable.
Yes, that's true.
You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Kevin Durant joining the 73-win Warriors, it felt inevitable they were going to win a title.
Oh, well, right.
It felt like they had already won the title.
I actually feel more vindicated by the narrative surrounding KD and those championships actually is more vindicated than feeling like an injustice.
You mean today?
Yes, there's nobody that looks at those two and thinks, really look what KD did.
Well, and the
everybody grades that with an asterisk.
Yeah, and the fact that the Nets have just fallen apart because of decisions made by him is just like, it softens everything.
It really does. That's why I'm more okay. I'm like, I can move on. The Lincoln Riley one is hard. I don't know how really good USC is because I'm not trying to spend too much time. They haven't played anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they beat UCLA. Their big wins, UCLA. They beat Notre Dame. Like, two kind of middle-of-the-pack teams. Obviously better than OU this year. Mm-hmm. But at the end, for me, is I'm like, if they are at least at the level of some of those OU teams were in the last 4 years, the playoff is going to be TCU, Georgia, Michigan and potentially USC. I mean, I think they could actually maybe perform better in the playoff than any OU team of the last 4 years. That's when you will see me just banging my head against the wall.
Like, if they win the whole thing,
I will lose my freaking mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to delete my Twitter for a while because it's just a vast wasteland of hot takes.
They win the whole thing. Caleb Williams, Heisman, Lincoln Riley, richest man in the whole world.
It's immediate success.
Yeah, that would be a pretty substantial frustration point.
And that's why Jalen Williams winning the Rookie of the Month.
It was perfectly timed.
Really good.
It was perfectly timed because it was right after he scores 25 points and basically wins the game.
27 points.
27. And that huge shot, he hit the shot that basically put it up, put it down, put it up.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Jay just had a seizure.
Kept reaching.
Jay's already through his entire coffee this early. I think that's what's happening.
And and then he went and made those two free throws. But he was awesome. He's the reason they won. I was so, once again, I don't need this team to be a top five team in the West.
They can't be.
But don't give up 77 points in the first half to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, that felt depressing at halftime. Where you're like, why are we playing so bad against all the bad teams?
I had some text in my drafts ready to ride for you guys, but luckily, cooler heads prevailed. I was like, they don't want to hear me just talk about, like, does this team have a fundamental flaw? Is Mark the right guy? Like, that's where I was going. It's like, I can't,
You can't give up 77 points. And is Mark a good coach? That's where I was headed.
Hey, third quarter Thunder. They showed up.
Except for against Houston.
Except for against Houston when it really mattered.
Yeah, well, this is the only game. Like, it's kind of like an OU or OSU season.
So true.
You beat Texas, you beat OSU, but vice versa.
Yeah.
It'll make up for all that. Like, just beat Houston. I don't care if you lose 10 in a row. Beat Houston.
Right, just please beat the
Rockets. I was so mad about during that Rockets game was how their talent was just, like, really showing up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like all of Houston's talent is all I saw. It was just Jalen Green step back three. How many threes did he hit in a row before he missed? I think 16 million.
It was
a lot.
You know, these are stats that I just don't care to remember.
I know it felt terrible.
Last year early in the season the Rockets blew him out too.
Really?
And then the Rockets came back and then OKC blew him out and
killed them.
OKC.
Yeah. Killed them in Houston.
Yeah, so mad.
Yeah. But, you know, this is why Jalen Williams winning the Rookie of the Month is so good.
Great. Sports justice.
Feels great. That's 2 months that he has been a better player than Jabari Smith Jr.
That's right. That's 2 months of staring down a mistake at number three in the draft. Yeah, I mean, the other guys in the West.
Chet Holmgren.
Keegan Murray with the Kings.
How's he doing for the Kings?
He's doing all right. He's had some injuries. Shaden Sharp.
Oh, man. Did you see the dunk he had against the Lakers?
Yes. Holy. Ridiculous. Dyson Daniels with the Pelicans. Jeremy Sohan.
Did he even play for the Spurs the other night?
No, he's injured.
Yeah.
And that's really about it. Tari Eason as well with the Rockets would be another one.
How is Pop coaching that team? I can't imagine that he's not just like, why am I doing this?
Cashing checks, man. He said it at the beginning of the season when people asked him, like, what continues to motivate you? He said the money.
The money?
Yeah.
That makes me feel
really needs more. What if he's just like, terrible with money.
I need this.
It's like I wouldn't be coaching right now if I didn't
took out a second mortgage.
I'm not talking about retirement, man. I'm talking about survival right now. You should see my bills.
Yeah. No, I mean he said that, and I mean he's not going to coach that much longer. I mean
he also said he would retire when Timmy retires.
I'm telling you, he has some unpaid debts to some scary people.
Yeah,
he's probably trying to pay it off.
He's a gambler.
That's probably true, man.
Yeah. That would be shocking, right?
Yeah, that would be shocking. But there's a lot of things about Pop coming out that are a little shocking.
What are your guys' thoughts on J-Dub's season? And then, like, what kind of ceiling are we looking at?
I don't know. This is not a right time for me to do this, Andrew.
I don't know.
This is the exact time, actually. This is it.
Go ahead, Taylor.
I was just thinking how many more, you know, player of the months does he have to win before he starts dating a Kardashian?
And then ruins his
future. He's going to be a star.
Mm.
I think he's going to
get hit with the Kardashian curse, and I think.
I think so. Like, I feel probably, this. I don't know if this is even a leap, but I feel better about his ceiling than I do Giddy's. Just because of what we know Giddy's limitations are. I don't see any... Really, if you look at Jalen Williams, like, I don't see anything in him that I'm like, oh, if he can just figure this out. Now, I know shooting would be the one. Can he be more consistent at the three-point line?
Yeah.
But some of that is just having the opportunities, and he's still a rookie.
But he also has a baseline of shooting, and he shot it really well at Santa Clara,
too. Yeah. But
where, man, you're like, I think he'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. He's the best. Oh, I want to make sure. Yeah, he's the best dunker on the team.
Yeah, him or Bazley.
The dunk he had, I don't know how it didn't get more love. He had that dunk on the baseline where I think it was a foul as well.
Yes.
He should not have dunked, and he is so, so long.
Yeah.
Like, it's noticeable, his body,
how
long his arms are on the floor. Like, it's, I don't know, man. I am incredibly hyped for J-Dub. Like, incredibly hyped. He's the perfect kind of guy to I don't know if it's a sixth man kind of, I like him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, could he be your three? And
I think he plays efficient basketball too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was really efficient in that game, but then overall, he only takes efficient shots. Like, he takes shots at the rim, which he's shooting really well at the rim. He'll take wide open threes, which he needs to improve at. But he's
good passer, good ball handler. I feel like he has so many facets to his game offensively that I think he's been trying to figure out, you know, what combination of all these things that I can do, like, make sense for this team or in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know.
That pick and roll pass to Jang during that Spurs game was just like, whoa.
I know. It's like, we hadn't really seen that.
Yeah. He hadn't had a chance to really do that.
Yeah.
And so he just has to get more comfortable playing with Shea. And obviously he's comfortable enough to win Rookie of the Month. But I mean, you look at his stats on like the banner for Rookie of the Month. It's like,
I know. I wish they didn't put those
half
on.
Of Ben Mathurin's stats. You know,
right.
He's like 10 points to Mathurin's 19. But the truth is, like, the field goal percentage is a big deal, 52% from the field. Like, that's impressive. And he's playing a role where Mathurin comes into the game, and it's like, yeah, it's Mathurin time. Like, yeah. Let's go. And so he hasn't really done that except for in that Spurs game. And we also have to give a nod to the Spurs for being just the worst team in the league by far. I mean, that is the worst team in the NBA. Like, worst defense, worst offense. That's a bad, bad team.
And it's clearly setting up for them to get Wemby.
I called it.
He is the most Spursian guy there is.
It really does feel that way, unfortunately.
Which is fine, actually.
I think that's just because he's French.
I just do not want him. It's true. I just don't want him in Detroit or Houston.
I know.
I don't care about anywhere else. Charlotte, perfect. San Antonio, fine.
Orlando?
Has anybody French ever played in Detroit?
Yeah, no. Killian Hayes.
Oh, right now.
He's French?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
There you go.
Hey, he's doing better.
Yeah, he's doing better. Played well last night.
Congrats, Hayes.
Got the win. Good job. Pistons, I think. What are the Pistons doing?
I don't know.
What's up with them?
So, Ben Mathurin's playing. He's played number one in 21 games versus Jalen Williams, 18. Mm-hmm. He's getting
unfair.
He's getting 5.5 more shots a game, but shooting worse percentage on those. Like, there are some parts of it where it's not necessarily comparing apples to apples. Mathurin is shooting 40% from the 3-point line, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ben Mathurin's, I mean, he's going to have one of the best rookie campaigns in recent memory.
Mm-hmm. On almost 6 attempts from 3 too.
Yeah.
Per game.
Man, that's the Pacers. Killing. The Pacers, good job.
They're kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, just even if you just deplete the whole rest of the team but keep Halliburton and Mathurin.
Yep.
Like, that's what you need to be doing, mm-hmm. which is what they probably will do.
Yeah.
A Carlisle revival.
Yeah.
Carlisle
revival.
I'm interested to see if they'll actually do it. You know.
Yeah, Pacers love the middle.
They're fine with the middle. They're content with that. I mean, they're in the playoffs currently. I mean, if they can keep this pace up, I don't know if they can. Pace. What's funny is, like, the sliding doors moment for the Kings. Like, the Kings could have Mathurin and Halliburton right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Well, they had the fourth pick.
This is not the season to dump on the Kings.
I'm not dumping. I'm just saying
you're dunking.
I'm dunking. It's a sliding doors moment. Would you rather have Halliburton and Mathurin or the current iteration of the Kings?
Halliburton, Mathurin.
Because you could have traded. Then you could have still, like, traded Fox and gotten whatever.
You know what's great about this? I feel like everyone just, with the Kings, you always go back, not you, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We always go back and we're like, the Kings could have had this and this and this.
Yeah.
If you focused on other teams, you could probably do that to them for a lot of years too. But there's something so natural about doing it to the Kings that we all just,
well, no other team has missed the playoffs for 17 years.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that they make the most out loud, rough,
that's true,
questionable trades. Well, like, you could go back to the Thunder and be like, all right, so
picks.
If the Thunder kept Danny Green and Chris Paul and Al Horford, like, mm-hmm. what kind of team could they put together? Like, they could have had a good squad for a few years. But it's like, nobody, when those trades happened, were like, oh, what are they doing? But when the Kings traded Halliburton for Sabonis, everybody was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It was like their first good draft pick in forever. And they traded him for a guy that the Pacers are like, you know what, we like him, but he is really messing up our vibe up here.
Yeah, and he's hard to build a team around.
We'll trade you. And a lot of the success that the Kings have had this year is because of Domas.
Mm-hmm.
Like Domas has been really, really good for them. But also, like, I think you would much rather have Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
Like, having a creative guard like that is so much harder to find than a, what is he, like the 10th best big man in the league?
Yeah.
And doesn't defend.
The Pacers aren't just in the playoffs. They currently have home court advantage through 21 games in the season. If the playoffs ended today.
The season ended today.
Dang it.
If the playoffs ended today,
the season would be over.
They're 7-3 in their last 10, man. I'm saying.
Celtics. Okay, if there's finals right now. Yeah, without
question. The Celtics are unbelievable.
Yeah, they're really good.
Celtics. You say it would be Celtics Suns?
No. I mean, yes. Finals, like, yeah, if you just took.
If it was just a one seeds.
I don't really believe in the Suns.
I don't really either, but I think that's just because we've already seen them get there and then fail.
Fair.
Yeah.
And it's Chris Paul. And it's like.
And it's Chris Paul. And we're learning that there's the Kardashian curse that exists with Chris Paul now. So.
Oh, I did not realize the Blazers, after their hot start, have been 2-8 in their last 10.
They have two players cursed.
Bad.
On their team.
Yeah. They have two Kardashian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although she's technically a Jenner.
It's still Kardashian family. Also, does the Chris Paul thing count? Like, do you have to be dating, or is just, you know, this situation, maybe you don't get cursed. Maybe you
it's less of
touch,
like,
darkness.
I think it's less of like trying to figure that out and more looking at what has happened.
Hmm.
The every turn that Chris Paul takes, there's always just like something like catastrophic, just like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, oh, why did he play so badly in the NBA Finals? You know, why in the last 1 minute of that game, game five in Oklahoma City in round two, did he just, like, he just let go of the rope there? Kardashian curse.
Okay. It's hard because I also don't believe Kanye West about anything. Hey, so I want to ask a question.
My question about that is, where did he get that picture from?
Some people are just turning on this podcast and have no idea what we're talking about.
Kanye West. Like, even that stuff gets to me.
he went on like basketballreference.com and just.
No, he didn't. There's like a hedge fund manager in a photo above him.
Oh my gosh.
I believe it. I
saw a part of the picture.
I mean, this would be a perfect deep dive.
This would be a perfect deep dive.
Because.
Listen, do you know what else Kanye said yesterday? I believe him. I think he's saying everything that he thinks right now.
Is he purging truth right now?
Yes, I think he did say,
is that when he's on InfoWars and said, I like Hitler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think he's on one right now.
He's just purging any truth out of his mind.
Including
just throwing Chris Paul under the bus.
Completely under the bus. But I imagine Chris Paul texting like other people that know, like LeBron and Carmelo.
Oh,
like,
my, yeah.
What is this guy doing?
What is happening right now?
Oh, my God.
This is so bad. Yeah, I don't know, but I can tell you this is just a sign. There is zero chance the Suns win the championship this year.
Zero. Hey, let me ask you, so one of the things that we say a lot in the early part of the season is 20 games into the season, then you can start making kind of assumptions on what these teams are. That's when you kind of discover what these teams are. So I'm going to go through just a few random teams and just talk about where they are in the league and then what their record is. And I want you all to tell me if where they're at will be where they end at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that fair?
Yep.
All right. Fair. So let's start in the Western Conference, okay?
Okay.
So the one that's the most surprising, well, there's two that are most surprising that are outside of the play-in right now. The Mavericks are 10-11,
mm-hmm.
and they're currently in 11th. And then the Lakers are 8-12,
mm-hmm.
and they're currently in 13th. So if you look at those two teams, where will they finish at the end of the season? Is where they are at this point indicative of where they'll be at the end of the season?
Lakers, absolutely, yes. The Lakers stink. That team is not good. The Mavericks will make the playoffs.
And they still have a positive point differential.
Yeah, where like the Blazers don't, the Timberwolves don't, the Clippers don't.
Guess what I saw about the Mavericks? They have not won an away game in 34 days.
That's wild. They're 1-8 over the season. Okay, so going into the teams that are in the play-in,
mm-hmm.
You've got the Timberwolves are at 9, yep. and they're 11-11. And then you have the Jazz who are at 7, and they're 13-11. Mm-hmm. Of those two teams, who do you think is most likely to stay in and who's going to fall out?
Oh, man. I like this.
I think that Timberwolves team is just garbage, man. They're not good, but their saving grace right now is that Towns got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for the first game after that, Gobert had like his worst game ever.
Yeah, that's because Towns is the only person that's actually trying to get Gobert going on offense. Have you seen like these people cut up clips of how many assists
Gobert from Towns? Won the game, though.
Yeah.
You know, they won the game. Like, that's all that matters. Like, Gobert's stats don't matter. They didn't matter in Utah.
Right.
For sure. That's
true. People talked about screen assists, for crying out loud. Like, that's how they talked positively about him. It's like, oh, number one in screen assists still. You know, like, that's what will happen in Minnesota. It's just the fact that Towns is like, he's like the biggest sucker in the league. He's terrible. He's not good. I think that people walk into games with him and see him and they say, that's the biggest sucker in the NBA. He stinks. We're going to toast this guy. He's terrible.
Here's the thing. You say that he's bad, he's terrible. He's not bad. He's not terrible.
He's not a winning player.
He's not a winner.
Known
he's
a loser. Loser. He is Carl a loser. Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Known loser.
He is.
Speaking of, TJ Warren.
TJ Warren, known loser. Returning. T-T. Yeah.
He's going to really help turn the Nets around.
I was going to say, that's exactly what the Nets have been needing, is like a scorer that can't defend. Wow. Great. Well, it's funny. Like there, it like keeps coming up as if it's news. Like, oh, TJ Warren's coming back. You know.
Yeah.
Big. Great.
Big whoop.
Yeah. When has he ever helped anybody win basketball games ever?
In the bubble? Speaking of the Timberwolves.
In the bubble. Not real.
Tomorrow night, Oklahoma City is in Minnesota.
How have we played them 8 times already?
It is very front loaded.
I'm over it. I'm glad that we don't have to see Towns' face.
Yeah.
During that. Game, the Timberwolves will probably win because known loser Cat is sitting down.
I mean, they also won the 2 games with Cat.
Not because of him.
No, sure.
In spite of him,
he has not been great. Okay, so that's the plan. So the Jazz, where do you think the Jazz end up? Like, how many levers are they going to pull around the trade deadline?
I'm not sure. I think these next 2 weeks are going to determine a lot for them. If they're still in this spot in 2 weeks.
Determine what? Like if they go for it or if they just
stay competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
They're 3-7 in the last 10. I mean, that's a problem, but they still have a pretty good point differential.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it's going to be tough for them to get in the bottom 5, but it's not too late. So, I mean, if they traded Markkanen.
Yeah, but how? I mean, is that not a guy that you want to try to keep?
I don't know.
Yeah, good question.
How old is Markkanen?
24?
Yeah, 24, 25.
He's like Shea's age.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that somebody you really want to build around?
I don't know how else you tank hard enough to get the next guy.
He's a tough.
With him being on, you just got to sit him. They'll have to pull levers like Oklahoma City, where basically all-star break on, he pulled something and he won't play again.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure if he... I don't know what they want to do. They could make the play-in.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're good enough to make the play-in. I don't think they're... Like, they were at number one in the West at one point. Like, they're certainly not that.
I would love if the play-in was, like, Jazz versus Minnesota. And Jazz won.
Yes, that would be amazing.
I would love that.
That would be great. They would definitely win.
I would love that.
Especially since the Jazz have the Timberwolves pick. So not only would they win... They would also get the better of the two picks. So going to the top 6, I think for the most part, you look at the top 2, Suns, Nuggets, 1 and 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Pelicans are at 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Grizzlies at 4, Clippers at 5, and the Kings at 6. Any of those teams do you think is outperforming where they will eventually land or underperforming where they'll eventually land?
The Kings are definitely outperforming where they land.
You don't think that they've actually just kind of turned the corner?
They have a 117 defensive rating. They can't make a billion shots forever.
Yeah. So where do you have them?
I disagree. Until we see them not make a billion shots, don't. Kevin Huerter.
Kevin Herter's fun. He's very MVP. Fun. Malik Monk, sixth man. He's awesome.
Keegan Murs.
Keegan Murray.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. Yeah. They're fun. They're very fun. I like fun.
It. No deep Domantas boy. Sabonis.
No deep boy.
No deep boy.
They're very fun. I mean, you have to play defense at some point.
I think that they could score 118 points every game for the rest of the year and have a defensive rating of 117.9.
Oh, my gosh. It's...
But you still have them hanging into the play-in.
To their credit, it's 113 is their defensive rating. Okay. Their offensive rating.
To their credit.
200.
To their credit, it's still terrible. Fifth just in, not as bad.
Fifth in the league at 116. They're plus 2.4 net. I mean, that's great. That's great. I just don't. I think it's just really difficult to make to do well in the NBA and have a bottom 10 defense. You know, it's just really tough. I mean, these are...
What's doing well, though? Making the play... If they made the playoffs this year...
They made the playoffs and not just the play-in.
Yeah, top six.
Throw a parade. Like, you've done it. You've broken the curse.
I think they have to do the play-in in order for the curse to actually break, though. You know, like, you can't skip a step. I feel like they need to do... Get to the play-in, beat... I don't know. Who would it be that they'd have to beat?
You've got...
I mean, I would recommend just making the playoffs if possible.
Yeah, just skip the plan. Because what will take that curse and expand it for eternity is getting to the play-in and losing in the first two games.
If you lose in the play-in, and then everybody's like, yeah, it doesn't count, then what? You're just like stuck in basketball purgatory.
No, you know what it is. They're going to get in the play-in, and it's going to be Golden State. And they're going to have to outshoot Golden State, and they're going to do it.
It would actually be really fun.
I think they could do it.
That would be a really fun
match. I think they
could
do it.
Well, the really difficult part, though, for the Kings is, like, if they don't make it this year, I mean, next year the Thunder are going to be better and, like, fighting for play-in spots. Like, the Blazers aren't going anywhere. The Timberwolves can't go anywhere. The Warriors aren't going anywhere. Clippers, Memphis, Pelicans, Nuggets, Suns. I mean, you're not guaranteed just because you took a step this year to get back there next year.
Yeah.
Like, a good team next year is going to miss.
I know. There's too many good teams in both conferences.
And so if you're the Kings, you better make it this year.
Yeah. They will. I believe in them. Top six.
I do not.
All right, let's go over to the Eastern Conference real quick. So you've got a few teams, just really one team, I think, that's outside looking in that's surprising to me. But you could say maybe two. Miami Heat sit at 10 and 12. They're in 11th. They're tied for 10th in the Eastern Conference. And then you have the Bulls, who are at 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them sitting outside looking in. And then in the playoffs or the play-in, you have the Knicks, the Wizards, the Nets, and the Raptors. If you go through those six teams, who do you think stays in and who do you think falls out?
I think the Heat will get in. And I think the Knicks will fall out.
It's hard not to see the Heat getting into it.
Yeah.
What about the Wizards? 11-11.
I like the Wizards.
Okay.
They could be playing.
Kristaps has been really, really good for them.
I just could definitely see him getting injured.
I like his facial hair this year, too. I feel like it works for him. And yeah. He's needed that facial hair.
Yeah, he does need
he
the facial
looks
hair.
Like a wizard.
Yeah, he looks good.
With the beard.
Looks great. Bradley Beal with Kristaps makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, they've played well. Kuz has been awesome this year. I like that Wizards team, actually. So, yeah, I think they're in the play-in. But, yeah, I think the Knicks drop out. The Knicks are, like, one of the most uninspiring squads in the league. Julius Randle plays and looks like he just got out of bed.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Like, just rolled out of bed. And then whenever he's on the bench, he has got just... ice pack on ice pack, and he's wearing like some kind of band around his waist that's like some kind of technology, and he looks like he's 85.
Yeah.
And then he just rolls off the bench. He has like his hair is like disheveled, like he just doesn't care.
I kind of love that look.
It's kind of cool.
He looks like Adam Sandler dresses like that.
Yeah.
He is the Adam Sandler of the NBA. I'll say that.
I like it.
Wow.
That's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
It's great years ago. Successful. Now.
It's very successful.
I don't know. Sandler's making kind of a comeback. He's got like major interviews on
Julius Randle.
Julius Randle kind of making a comeback.
That's right.
All right. So let's move up to the top six in the East. So Boston, best team in the NBA, 18-4 in the season, just playing out of their minds, top in net rating, all those things. Bucks right behind him, 15-5, and getting Middleton back, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
And you got Cavs, Pacers, Sixers, and Hawks. If you look at those teams, looking at where they currently are, who do you trust to stay in that top six, and who do you think potentially could move into the play-in? Like, how are you feeling about the Hawks?
I feel good about them. I think the Pacers drop out, probably. The Pacers could drop out.
Yeah, the Pacers will drop out. Certainly. And
I like the Hawks.
Anybody surprised? Like, are the Cavs at 14-8 surprising?
No, they're good.
Not based off of, like, I mean, you saw it in the first week with the Cavs. It's like, oh my God, this really works. It's like, everything just clicks.
That's a really good team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Pacers will fall out. I wouldn't be surprised if the Hawks fell out and like the Raptors jumped up or the Nets jumped up. That wouldn't surprise me. I'm kind of meh on the Hawks. I don't think they'll do anything fun or surprising. They're not going to sneak up and do damage. I think they're just kind of in the middle. Yeah. Like, what are they? I think I'm going to playoff series this year. Yeah, get out of here.
And it's hard. The Nets have won three in a row. The Wizards game, that's a good win. Magic, okay. And then you've got the Blazers, which I'm assuming that's Dame is out for that one. So yeah, it's he was out. So are those wins?
Any win streak like that for the Nets is good.
You just
for
take
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any yeah.
Wherever, however it happens.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you get it. Okay. That Nets squad outside of Kevin or just
did you see
rough.
What he said on Twitter, that guy who's like a big Nets fan?
Yeah, so good.
So I'll just very quickly summarize it. Some Nets fan was like, oh, the Nets are the best, this is why, blah 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 blah, they're gonna really, you know, they're gonna do,
keep going.
He said they're just praising the Nets. KD quote RT's it and said, Nets got you in hell, man. I don't know, something like get a life or do something else. I can't remember.
Yeah, here it is. So this Nets fan, he had a tweet that says, this Nets team is amazing. They're going to win 55 games in the NBA championship. Slow start was a fluke. Go Nets. Then he quote tweets himself and says, I'd argue the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks are one, maybe two major moves away from being on our level. Go Nets. This team is all caps, elite. KD is winning MVP. Ben, Kyrie, KD will all be all NBA. And then I don't think he tagged Kevin in it. Like, he's got like 35 retweets, 300 likes. And then Kevin below says, Nets got you in hell. You may need a break. This is going to break you, my brother.
Also, just like, okay, when I read that on Twitter, it was different than when you read it out loud. Because when you read it out loud, I was like, oh, I was realizing, oh, this is a kid. This is like an 18-year-old kid, probably.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
It's gotta be.
Or just somebody who is delusional, you know. It's so funny that Kevin Durant, who is, this guy's just, all he's doing is praising him. Kevin is kind of awesome right now.
Yeah.
Like his podcast that he was talking about Shea and about the Thunder. Like I don't listen to his podcast ever, but I listened to that. Just his like blunt honesty with stuff is kind of refreshing with the way that a lot of other, you know, stars interact with people.
I'd agree. It feels like he's starting to break through maybe he's been feeling this already.
Yeah.
But it does feel like, looking at him, he's starting to break through that really kind of dark and unhappy sounding, like,
yeah, he's like this just
stuff.
Like, this is what it is.
Yeah,
like, here I am, I'm here.
Yeah, and maybe he's been there and it's just taking us this long to see it.
That was so funny though.
That was very funny.
Something else that was funny is the TNT guys, and this is how you know Shea hasn't made it yet, is they don't know his name. They don't know how to say his name.
One, that's his 14th 30-point game. Who's got 15 to lead the league?
Giannis?
Nope.
Oh.
Gilchrist.
Gilchrist.
let me tell you something.
Close.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
That's what I said.
I said Gilchrist.
I had no idea.
Hey, let me tell you something. If Shea Alexander Gilchrist is not.
thank you. He just said the same thing.
Shea Alexander Gilchrist.
It's getting late. Oh, man.
Late. It might be the cologne.
It is 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, if he's not. No, seriously. If Shea Gilgeous
Alexander
is not starting in the All Star game. We're not going to let the public vote again.
Okay.
He should be starred at the two spot in the Western Conference easily.
Yeah, his.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
He just completely, said that.
Goes Gilchrist.
All Shaq said was Gilchrist, not Shea Gilchrist. He just called him Gilchrist.
Gilchrist.
And then he's like, I said Gilgeous. And then they're like. Shea Gilgeous, Alexander.
Then Chuck calls him Shea Alexander Gilchrist. This is how you know that he has not made it yet. He is on the cusp of becoming a superstar, but he's not there yet.
No. And then, by the way, declares he has to be the starting two guard on the All-Star team. If he's not, the public shouldn't be allowed to vote after they just butcher his name for
Shea
two straight minutes.
Alexander Gilchrist. That's
good.
So good. All right.
Shea Gilgeous.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And we're back.
We're back.
After that quick break. And it's time for some Twitter questions.
questions. You've got questions and you ask them on Twitter. Now we answer them for you. This is Twitter Questions. Now let's get down to it.
Our first Twitter question, this is a great Twitter question, by the way. This comes from @Aaron_Toller. What's up, Aaron? Aaron's got a great question. This is actually a question that my wife.
What's up, Aaron?
Has been.
Do you know Aaron?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
This is a question that anytime Amy watches a Thunder game with me, she asks. And it's, he says, I think Coach Degnault is doing a great job with the team, but how do you feel about his overall vision? He is always squinting.
This is a great question. I've noticed this. And you know what I always think? That he's thinking. Every time I see that face, I'm like, man, he's really trying to figure something out. You know, some kind of strategy or what's working, what's not working.
Amy thinks he's fighting off a sneeze.
Oh, he's just constantly fighting off just a like, sneeze, huh?
So I am a, you won't notice this, but if you notice me in pictures, like I'm a over squinter.
Really?
But yep. There's a sensitivity to light that I have, right? Mm. And so even with the smile or any kind of expression on my face, is I will unintentionally or subconsciously squint. So maybe that's going on with Mark as well.
Show me. Is that what you do?
No.
You do.
I'm smiling.
Yeah. My eyes get a little but that's different.
Everyone does that.
That's different.
No, it's not smile. Okay.
See? I can't smile with my eyes open.
This is a great podcast.
This is different.
Because no, that picture is spot on. Like he's definitely thinking.
Because he's, and it's definitely like he'll look up at the Jumbotron. Every time he looks at the Jumbotron, it's.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Every time.
I'll pay you.
It's a great time to subscribe to YouTube. Subscribe to YouTube.
I'll pay you $20 yeah. if you ask him this next time you see him.
If I get a chance to just like side conversation, I'd be glad to.
Like Mark,
you know what?
You okay, bud? Do we need to get you an optometry appointment?
I got a buddy who is an optometrist.
We'll hook you up.
That could help you out.
Yeah.
With some glasses. Because I don't think you're seeing the world the way you're supposed to, Mark. In fact, he might become the best coach of all time if he could just
like
see.
Wild Thing from Major League, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think also this might just be that he's an old soul and old guys just squint at things all the time.
Yeah.
He's 37.
Even just
well, I know, but yeah, he's old.
Also loves
he's
Bruce
an old
Springsteen.
37.
He's yeah. the oldest 37-year-old in the world.
Exactly. See, I think he's just squinting cuz he's like you know, there's some kind of brain activity happening and that his face just does that.
I think he honestly can't see.
Really?
What's wild for me is I'm like if I ran into Mark.
Hmm.
Like, I wouldn't be having a...
He wouldn't get out of the way because
he couldn't see.
He couldn't see. Yeah.
But he... okay. He wouldn't... It would not be... So, I'm older than Mark by 3 years. Hmm. But in a conversation with him, I would definitely feel like I'm the younger of the two of us.
Yeah. yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably more status than it is
But also... I mean, I yes, know. Definitely. He's one of 30 NBA coaches.
Yeah, it's like sitting at his feet and listening to him.
He, to his credit, is awesome. Just like an awesome person. And I think Thunder fans, if they had a chance to like get to know him, they would be even more happy that he's the coach of the Thunder. Like, he's genuinely a really good guy. So it's great. Also, get some glasses, Mark. Hmm. Our next Twitter question comes from @Alex_BowlerJack. You have the ability to grant one player elite passing, one player elite shooting, and one player elite defending. Give one of those to each of these players. Usman Jang, Poku, and Wiggins.
Okay.
Each skill may only be given once.
Elite passing, elite shooting, elite defending.
I'm going to give elite defense to Poku. Because if Poku is an elite defender, like elite.
I guess you don't lose the current skill you already have.
He's already a 42%
three-point Like, I'm feeling shooter. More and more confident in his three-point shooting.
Yeah, I think he's probably like a 37% three-point shooter.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome.
So if you make Poku like a dominant on-ball defender.
Just an...
Everything.
Because I think he's pretty good. I think he's a pretty natural rim protector.
He's blocking LeBron James off the glass.
He becomes 7-foot Draymond Green.
Yeah.
That is the centerpiece.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Centerpiece of your defense. But can hit shots.
Yeah.
Can hit corner threes. Finishes at the rim. Doesn't shoot like he has a backpack on.
That's your generational player.
I love the idea of people thinking they could post up Poku because he's a stick, and they like can't
him
move
just
him,
swatting them every time.
Yeah, like Gobert's like, I can't move this guy
because he's dirty.
Just a stick Poku. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Poku.
Gilchrist. Shai Alexander-Gilchrist.
That's his 14th 30-point game. Who's got 15 to lead the league?
Giannis?
Nope.
Oh, Gilchrist.
So confident.
Gilchrist. All right, so elite passing.
Elite shooting, give it to Wiggs, man. Give it to Wiggs.
Oh, please. Yes.
If he was like a 44%.
We don't know what he actually can do. He may be an elite shooter.
He would be Klay Thompson. Give him off movement. That's our Klay Thompson.
What if you gave elite shooting to Jang, though?
That'd also be cool. I just like Wiggins so much better personally as a human person.
I see.
Nothing.
I think it's, and I do think that it's like genuinely the fact that Usman Jang is like learning our culture and learning our language, that it's just really hard for him to connect with people. Like, and I genuinely believe that that's a huge part of the hurdle.
That's a substantial barrier.
The
for
hurdle
sure.
that he's trying to get over, not only basketball wise, because I do think the game is too fast for him right now. But I do think that that's a huge one, too. And learning how to live in Oklahoma City is a really hard thing for him. Anyways, I just like Aaron. Places. I like Aaron Wiggins. I want Aaron Wiggins to become a good player in this league just because I think he's a helpful player today. I think he's just a helpful NBA player. And if he was an elite shooter, like, you always need wings.
Yeah.
You always need wings. And like this same argument could go for Jang. That's fine. Like, and it would probably be better to have a 7-foot elite shooting wing than Wiggins. Honestly, like, it would be more of an anomaly to have.
Right.
I mean, it's
But Wiggins could be the two-way guy, which you don't feel as confident about. Jang.
I kind of do, though. I kind of do believe in Jang's ability to defend.
Really?
Yes. I do. Actually, that's the thing that I believe in most about him today.
Really?
Yes.
How about that? I should probably watch him. Every time he gets on the floor, I turn the game off.
Jang Fender. Yeah, and workshop. And
yeah, keep working
just
on
trying
it.
To get it going before everyone else does, you know?
Gilchrist. Yeah, no, I'm flipping now. Give it to Jang. Give the elite shooting to Jang.
Wow, you just argued against that for a minute.
I know. And
what sucks is Wiggins being elite passer is useless.
That's the thing. It's like that's where I landed with Jang as an elite passer as well. It's kind of fun.
Good. Yeah. Good job, team.
Because he's not gonna. The problem with giving either one of them elite passing skills, because I don't think Jang is an elite shooter, and I don't think Wiggins is either. You just have like Josh Giddey again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So instead of just getting Josh Giddey again, I think we just need to give Jang the shooting. If Jang shot 44% like off movement from the corners above the break, it was just like, no, do not leave Usman Jang. If that was a phrase that was being uttered in the NBA.
And the fact he's on the court with Poku.
Yeah.
And the team is like, okay, those two guys... Don't leave them open. They hit everything.
Don't leave those guys. And then now you
have by the way, Poku's going to swat your mess out of here.
You have all... You have Chet coming back. You have Shai as this elite on-ball creator.
It's the best.
It's championship next season. Thanks for sending us down this rabbit trail of just...
Poku.
Thank you. Next question is from at Harry Eve, even outside of tanking, could a game or two every few weeks, like last night, where Shai sits and rests, and the young guys have more responsibility, be beneficial to development?
Absolutely.
Or is it more important to get in as many games as possible with Shai and the young core for fit/chemistry?
I was thinking about this question on my way.
All night.
Just
I stayed up all night.
Stewing over it. I was thinking about this on my way over here, and I think that, I mean, I don't know. Shea is playing at such an elite level. I think if he's healthy, he needs to be on the floor. So to do any sort of intentional sitting to get the young guys more minutes, I just think is problematic for, I think, the narrative, which I know Sam does not care about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's problematic for even just kind of the, and this is just total guessing. I have no idea if this would be it, but I wonder how much Shea would be okay with sitting without injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly he's hurt. He was hurt the other night. Like he
fell so
hard on his back.
I thought he was going to be out for weeks.
Yes.
After I thought he'd be out of the game. I thought,
yeah.
I thought this is not good.
So I think that there's, if he's hurt, fine. But if he's, you just don't do that to work those guys in, because ultimately you do want them to develop. Like you want J-Dub to be able to figure out how to do what he did against the Spurs, maybe on a smaller level, but doing that alongside Shea.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want to go. You know, so that's why I'm like, I understand the sentiment of the question. Like, hey, man, it was really fun to watch those guys play. Now, if they play a team that's not the Spurs, they're going to get absolutely steamrolled too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think if Shea's healthy, you just got to play him
mm-hmm.
for his morale as well. Like,
mm-hmm.
he's playing at an elite level. And yeah. not to mention the amount of, I don't know, man, if he has a chance to be an All-NBA 1, 2, or 3 team.
Yeah, you got to let that happen.
You got to let that happen.
But I do under the question is very valid, and that I do think that it aids in development for players
yeah.
to have time to do that. I think it really does. I think that's why Jordan Poole has that giant contract today, is because mm-hmm. he had the time on that tanking Warriors team to figure out who he was.
Yeah. Just to get reps and have the ball in your hand more and not yeah. have to worry about the star, the you know,
oh, yeah.
making sure that the guy is getting taken care
yeah,
of.
Yeah, so, and it's why James Wiseman's in the G League right now. Because they don't have time for him to mm-hmm. figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get in the playoffs. And if he's keeping them from that, you can't do it. And now the Thunder are not worried about making the playoffs, obviously, so they're still gonna have chances to develop these guys. So I think it's almost the best of both worlds, where like you have this all-star in Gilchrist, you, and then you get to develop all these young guys
like Potu,
yeah, like Potu.
Well, and you
well,
look
and,
at it.
Well, and like Poku is a good example because Poku has had a chance to develop over the course of the last 2 years, and now yeah. he's
amazing. He's
an NBA
awesome.
Player.
Player.
Yeah,
and you look at the Spurs game.
You said yeah,
yeah, yeah. You look at the Spurs game.
I'll say yes to anything about Poku.
One of the guys we've been. Like nervous about was Trey Mann. Trey yeah. looked horrible
yeah.
against the Pelicans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wonder about the back.
Yeah, but he ended up having a little less pressure. Shea yeah. wasn't on the floor, so we got the ball a little bit more regularly.
Spurs
and against the Spurs,
stinks.
He played well.
Yeah, Spurs defense
yeah,
stinks.
Spurs defense
let's,
is,
let's see how they look against like,
yeah, the Wolves. Still not a good,
they stink
a good
too.
Example.
Nope.
Is anybody in the NBA good?
The Boston Celtics and the
they almost beat
Milwaukee
the Celtics.
Bucks.
They did almost beat
they
the Celtics.
They did almost beat the
apparently
Celtics.
Apparently the Rockets. Very yeah. good. What if that was the only context that we had for teams
yeah, just
in
the one game they
you
played
know what
the
I mean?
Thunder?
Like, yeah.
Raptors,
funny.
Terrible.
Like you didn't have
if
any
you,
information.
If you weren't given any information about any of the other teams, all you had was the teams that you saw them play. You'd be like, man, the Clippers stink. Mm-hmm. That's probably the worst team in the NBA. You know? The Rockets have to be number one in the West. Are yeah. the Rockets a title contender this year? You know,
they have the MVP of the league.
They are elite at shooting the ball.
Detroit's got to be top five. They just got to be. They got yeah. number one pick in the draft. They play. Look at the way that they play against the Thunder. You know, it's just funny to think
yeah,
about.
It is funny. But then where would you rank yourself? Like, how do you rank your own team when you're breaking it down?
I would think
like
we were a lot better than we are.
Yeah.
You know? And just also just because like this is a pretty likable team as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun brand of basketball, as they say.
It's a great brand.
Polo 2.
At L Crossland 44. If we get the number 2 pick, do we go ahead and go with Scoot or do we consider Fit?
Who's Fit?
Start considering Fit.
Boo.
Yeah, boo.
It's good though, top.
Thanks.
Nope.
I think
if you're
the right decision is just pick best player available. But yeah. I do think you have to evaluate what the difference between Scoot and Amen Thompson is. Because that's who yeah. most people have kind of ranked three.
Yeah.
Gavoni just came out with his, and that's who he had at three. And he's got a skill type and a size that would be not as redundant for the Thunder.
Pretty Thunder.
Right? More Zach LaVine kind of body style.
Yeah.
And game, probably. Potential elite shooter.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I would probably go with at two. If you don't see the difference between... If you see Scoot as a generational guy and Amen Thompson as a good...
Chance to be, but like...
Yeah.
Not...
Then you go with Scoot. You go with the generational possibility. But if you see those two anywhere close, I would go with Amen Thompson.
Really? I would go... just from body type?
Just skill. What he fits a need more than Scoot.
But he's not
does.
A shooter.
Amen isn't? I thought he was a shooter.
I don't think either of the Thompson twins are shooters.
Yet.
Yet.
But if they're going to play more of a wing, if that's like your, could be your stereotypical like three.
Yeah. Yeah. Adding another, I understand the question because like adding another point guard is like, okay, we've got a lot going on here. But.
I just went on this whole tirade about. Picking the guy
well,
based
you know,
on the skill that's completely
good.
Incorrect.
If you're,
this feels great.
If you're in the lottery, you should not ever pick for fit. Never, ever, ever do you consider fit over talent. Not once do you do that. The Warriors picked two, James Wiseman, because they thought we would like to have that kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
They pick for fit.
They could have had LaMelo.
Don't do it. Don't ever do it. Don't you ever, ever do it.
Wow.
That's why Michael Jordan didn't go in the top two. Picking for fit. Can he play with Clyde Drexler?
Yeah. Don't, every time someone does that and then you look back, it seems so ridiculous.
Don't ever, ever do it.
Wow.
Never. Not even once.
Okay. You've been staring at me
don't
the whole time.
Do it. Don't do it.
I'm trying to figure out what you're really telling me through this.
If you consider fit and your team is under 500, you lose.
What does this mean
you
to
lose.
My life?
It's like of the things that are negative about him and Thompson, his three-point shooting is number one.
The Kings,
definitely not him.
Kings drafted for fit.
Brandon Miller from Alabama?
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
Golly.
I mean, the Kings drafted for fit in 2018. Thought that Marvin Bagley would fit better with De'Aaron Fox. So they didn't pick Luka.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
Don't draft for fit at two. You can draft for fit at 18. Who cares? Those guys usually stink anyways. Don't draft for fit at two. Never, ever. I don't care.
Okay.
Hey, man, we get it.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, there's a chance, by the way, that Cam Whitmore's first game of the season is tomorrow against OU. So
ooh, that's fun.
If you're in Oklahoma, you might get to see that. But maybe not.
At Ron Lennon.
He's my favorite.
Why does Wiggins not get more minutes?
He's your favorite?
Is this a subtle lever pulling? Is he okay with the situation? I've not heard any discontentment from him or seen it. He's bebopping around the locker room every time I see him. So take that for what it's worth.
For Wiggins?
Yeah.
I think Wiggins is just happy to be on the team and have an NBA contract.
Happy he's got a guaranteed contract. Like, that's right.
The dude two
that's
years right. ago, like he was a second round pick that was destined for the G League.
Yeah. He
And he proved himself. He earned it. I totally
yeah,
get
yeah.
that.
No, he's a good player. He's a good player. I don't know that it's a lever. I think it's just that there are a lot of players at his position that need minutes.
Yeah.
And so it just is what it is. At Pile of Bricks, Jang looks really smooth and has a nice skill set, but seems to be reluctant to dunk the ball and generally play with aggressiveness in the paint. Is this something he can improve, or is aggression just something a player has or doesn't have?
I feel like that comes with confidence.
And growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever going to be a very aggressive player. I would be surprised if...
What about Poku? I feel the same way.
I would be very surprised if Poku became a very aggressive player. I think they're both just...
And it depends on what you mean by aggressive, right? Sometimes Poku's pretty aggressive.
True.
In decision making.
True, but
just watch the demeanor between a J-Dub and those two guys, which I know is not comparing apples to apples, but like I love.
Have you ever compared apples to apples?
Yeah.
Couple. Gala to a pink lady?
Or a Fiji to a Honeycrisp?
Yeah.
That's or good. Granny Smith? Or Red Delicious?
Mm-hmm. And yep. Who came out on top?
Honeycrisp.
Exactly.
All right. Are you miffed or are you peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
Are you miffed and are you peeved?
Taylor, you got one before you get out of here?
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention that it's Fritter Nation Friday. Go out and get yourself a fritter.
How can we be miffed and peeved if it's Fritter Nation Friday?
It's Fritter Friday. It's actually
my friend Taylor brought us fritters this morning. Right.
I thought we were gonna eat Twitters on the pod. All of us were so hungry.
Twitters.
Fritters.
Potu.
They were really good. It is actually National Fritter Day. Yep. So how
and
can you
also
be
also Kenrich Williams' birthday?
Happy Fritter Nation, Kenrich Williams
Day. Happy Fritter Nation.
Wow. Everybody have a great weekend. We will talk to you guys again.
No
miffed and
peeved. No, how can you be?
Monday.
Fritters.
Twitters.
I was just eating Twitters.
Just ate Twitters.